can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
So I'm good. It was busy today at work. I had 8 meetings.
Jesus.
And 2 or 3 of them were like spontaneous planned ones as of today. So it was just like bam, 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 constantly. I've just noticed I don't have the capacity to survive 9, well, even 8 hour days. I get there at 6:30, and by noon, like, I can kind of linger until 1, but at 1, I'm out. I just mentally don't have the capacity to focus on a job that long. Like, I have to have a break and think of different things, or else my creativity feels, I don't know, restrained, and it starts to wear on me, and I definitely, like, jobs wear me down, and I don't know how society does this so easily. How do people work 40 hours and focus the whole time?
I don't think people do. I think that's the difference. I don't think anybody really does that. There are people who, like, probably say they do, but I don't think anybody really does it.
I was like, I see all these older people that, not all of them, but some of them, that they go to work and they just bam, 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 bam. Maybe they're not challenging themselves. So it's very much just I have to go through the motions of the day, and that's how I live robotically. That's not me.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about just showing up and doing exactly what you're supposed to do and then leaving and not doing anything more, not adding any flair to it, just showing up, doing it, and getting the fuck out.
Because that's why I had to change jobs. I couldn't handle the mundane tasks, but now it's just like, go, 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 go. And it's also not me, but it's, I guess if I was going on super creativity rather than corporate blah, I'd probably be better, but.
Yeah, I feel that. I was still so drained being at work, and it's just.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it. By the time, like today, I think it was almost noon, whenever I was like, fuck, I don't feel like doing anything anymore.
Yeah. It hit me about 12:45, and then I was like, all right, I have 1 o'clock, a 2 o'clock, and a 3:30. Yeah.
I didn't even have any of that, and it was just, I don't know, it was one of those days where,
I don't know.
I just did not feel like doing anything extra today, so I did my job, and that doesn't take me very long to do. And then I just sort of, like, wait for the stuff that happens throughout the day to happen. Otherwise, I didn't really do anything proactive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just in this weird place with it where I just don't really care for work.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, This is the millennial life right now. Well, I mean, I guess I've got some added stuff, but so on top of a regular job, I'm getting bombarded with notifications about showings of my house now, which is great. That's a good thing, but still, yeah. That's on my brain. I'm just like, somebody put a fucking offer in so I can purge this thing. I started getting notifications on my car today, meaning that they're messing with it. So I'm assuming the transmission came in, but I don't know. And I'm still waiting on information to submit to corporate Toyota because I'm trying to make them buy my car back. On top of that, one of my good friend's birthdays this weekend, and I'm part of the planning for a surprise party for them. So I'm in the midst of trying to arrange that properly. There's so much more. There's just a list of things. And then on top of that, you just have this whole political climate where you're being bombarded with all this news of just kind of shocking things, but not shocking. Like, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And you get,
yeah,
you get on this. It's what side do I want to be on? Do I want to be on the side that like gets up and fights this immediately? Or do I want to be on the side that we have to live with what we got and I want to watch it collapse because there's nothing I can do?
That right there, my friend, is the question of the fucking day, because I don't know. I want to be, in my head, I want to be very diligent about staying aware, but yeah, at the same time, there's so much. And it's by design. I mean, I know it's designed to be this way where there's so much that you can't keep track of it all, and it's yeah, emotionally exhausting to do, and I know that's by design.
Yeah.
So there are, in some ways, it's just, I don't know, there's only so much you and I can do as individuals.
Yeah. That's how I lean on it. So I've decided that instead of focusing on the world's problems, that I would do what I know I can control. And so I've actually like bought a little bit more gear. So I'm always going to have, it's not on right now because I just got it in the mail, but I'm always going to have like a rainbow bracelet or yeah, a rainbow lapel. And I'm going to wear more pride shirts in the sense that I want you to know that no matter what, I will exist. And so I'm taking kind of the initiative myself to not be hidden like so many want.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Honestly, it's a really good idea. It's a little scary to some degree, but it's a good idea.
In a sense, yeah, I hate that. But I've decided that I'm like, I'm not going to, no matter what the risk of my life is, even, I don't really care. I'm not going anywhere. So deal with this. You're going to see it. And I don't give a shit. Which this isn't this podcast related, but we should probably go to our other podcast and sell some gear based off of that concept.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. I like the idea of doing that. Maybe we should do some more designing, but yeah, it's weird to think about it like that, where I think, maybe I will wear some more pride stuff. And then I think like, oh, like I work in a very blue collar environment and I know some of those people are just like that. And then I have to like really revamp the way I think and remind myself that these are the same people who are going to come to work wearing, you know, whatever, that one of them has like an LGBT sticker on the back of his car. And the L is like, I don't remember what all it was, but the T was Trump and the G was guns. And like, it was, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's basically that where I was like, okay.
What triggered this for me, weirdly, was my house situation. I've discovered that I've had people declining, like even viewing my home or writing it's not an option that they're going to choose after viewing it, because my neighbor to the left of me is a super Trumpy and puts out too many Trump flags. They're all very dumb. And at first I was like, do I talk to him or what? And then I was like, I'm going to let this go a while. The market's just moving. So surely there's a fucking conservative in this state that has enough money to buy what's considered a cheap house in this country here in this state.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute. These are the people that bitch about gay people making their gayness, their personality, when these people are making Trump their personality. And I was like, you know what? Why do I care if they don't want to see it? I'm very proud of who I am. And I'm going to make sure you know that I do exist regardless if you want to see it or not.
Yeah. And I think that's a...
Because they have no consideration to what we think about it, their personality. So why am I resisting mine in any sense?
Yeah, it's exhausting to have to deal with people like that, too, because they think that anything that's gay that exists is like shoving it in their face. But it's because they come from this place of privilege where everything that exists already is designed for them. So it's not like we don't see straight culture because it's already there. It's everything. It's everything that's around us. I have to deal with it every fucking day. I have to deal with it because people will ask if Joe and I are brothers. They'll ask if we're cousins. They'll ask if we're friends. And I'm just like, we live in a world that is specifically catered to you. And the fact that I exist is not an infringement of your rights. It's just not. And you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So I don't care if I stir a pot anymore. It's my right.
Yeah. And I think you're 100% right about it. I should do the same thing, honestly. Because I get scared about it, honestly. It scares me. To be funny that open.
Yeah. And it's funny how, I don't know, it's not scary anymore like it used to be to me. I used to be more scared by it. And now I'm just like, okay.
I think whatever. If it were just me, I'd probably be a little less scared by it. Because if I think like my actions really only ever impact me, it doesn't really bother me as much. So I don't know. And maybe that's just an excuse that I'm making up, you know, to excuse my not necessarily bad behavior, but my reserved behavior, whatever. I should be less reserved. Because I do have very strong opinions about this. I do have very strong feelings about it because, you know, it's just the fact that gay people exist and you can see in public spaces that they exist is not, it's not infringing on your rights as a citizen. Like your rights stop really at the tip of your nose when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I have to go and see you with all of your fucking decked out Trump gear, your church gear, like all of your bullshit. And those are things you chose. Those are things that you decided were for you for your life. This isn't even something I made a choice about, but I have to be transparent with it in some capacity because if we don't do a good job of representing ourselves, then people will forget that we're there and it will be harder for us to gain the rights that would drive us closer to equality.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I keep recently having this weird debate in my head, kind of with my parents about it, because it is so unique to me how so many people can try and simplify life of a black and white view. Everything's very simple if you stop complicating it. Man versus woman, that's what it is. Like, of course there's going to be incidences, but they can talk to their doctor. Otherwise, there's no choices. And I'm just like, I'm intrigued how simple you decide to make things in life. You're scared of the things you don't understand, because if you can't come to a conclusion on it, you feel like you're out of control.
Well, and I don't get the need to control that anyways.
That's
right?
It. I don't get the need to control that narrative. If I don't understand why you're doing something, it's not my job to try and figure out and understand it.
Mm-mm. Not even
I
a little.
I can respect you as a person for doing things all day that I don't understand.
It's the whole reason why you have, like, the freedom to go to whatever church that you want to go to and practice whatever religion you want to practice in your own home and the churches you go to. And if you want to stop in the middle of the mall and take a knee and pray in public, you can absolutely fucking do it.
Yeah.
And you get these rights. Like, you these things are afforded to you regardless of what I think about your religion, even if I think it's a whole big pile of bullshit, which I do.
Well, and speaking of, where's the right religion?
Oh, I mean, there's been 3,000 plus gods, but it's your god that's the right one. Everything
it's your
else
specific
is
belief
bullshit.
That's accurate, and everyone else's. But as my mom says it, at least you believe something. Whatever religion you're in, you have to believe there's a god something. And I was like, yeah, but...
That's not even true. Like,
that's, I'm like, I see where you're coming from, but what I'm trying to tell you is each church's interpretation is a little different, especially when you start getting to other religions that there's multiple gods. Yep. And there's religions of the earth is God. I mean, there's thousands of religions.
Yeah.
And you are taking this effort to look at yours and say, mine's the right one. And I was like, when your Bible is the one that you focus on is based partially off the Torah, is based off Judaism. Like, you are a branch of other religions that were there before you existed. You're a Christian, which is taking parts of multiple religions to decide your belief now, which your belief is pulled also from paganism. And when you go into those details, they think you're being a radical liberal.
I think trying to educate people on something that is inherently anti-education is very difficult because they shut down. Their brains shut down immediately. I think people don't like the movie Heretic that came out recently. It's because it's got so many strong anti-religious messages in it that they can't see the fact that by the end of the movie, it's not an anti-religious movie. But they will see all of the bad things that the main antagonist says about religion, and they shut the fuck down because they don't want to hear it. Because that is a challenge directly to their sense of morality and their guidelines for how they're supposed to be as a person, and they don't understand who they are without it to some degree. And I get it because I had to go through that myself, but I also had to come to terms with, like, well, who I am as a person versus who religion says I should be, and finally break myself of that. And of course, I'm still working on it to this fucking day. And I'm sorry I interrupted you twice, but
no, you're fine. It's just for a lot of people to question their understanding and beliefs in things is just mortifying for them. My family's very much, I've learned this, that's what it is, I don't have to change that. This is fact. Mm-hmm. I don't have to think about it anymore. And I'm like, God, how nice would it be to just have that kind of life where I don't, like, as I learn things, they just stay there and nothing gets questioned. I don't have to grow anymore in that aspect because I figured it out. When my brain... I'm always questioning things, especially my beliefs on things and my perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
Because growth, it's so rewarding when you notice, when you can look back and see that growth in who you've become versus who you were. Prior to cancer, the person I was this judgmental, snarky person in my eyes. A lot of people tell me, no, you're great. I'm like, okay, what the fuck up? But I was very judgmental in my mind. Now, mind you, I a lot of times I could hide it better than other judgy people. But mentally, I was quite judgmental. And I don't, like, now I just don't see people and activities and behaviors the same way. I finally understand that I don't have to get it. I don't also have to follow along with them, but I can still respect everything they are.
Well, respect is a strong word. I can still be like, that's not my business.
Yeah. I don't have to respect you, though. I don't have to respect you if you are an asshole towards other people because you're a judgmental. Yeah.
Well, I've noticed, especially when it comes to Christianity, and it makes sense because I growing up around it and being so deep into it, and you understand this, a lot of people, that's where they gain their morality from. Yeah. Not from the rules of it, not from following anything in Christianity, but by claiming Christianity, they gain morality in their own mind. I mean, it's not true, yes, but it is where they get it from.
It's their blanketing morality. They're like, oh, well, I'm a Christian, so obviously I'm fine.
I'm a good person. Yeah. And people have made the mistake of equating Christianity to morality and goodness, and it's just not true. It's objectively not true, and it's been objectively not true for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so, you know, you look at things like the Crusades, and they'll be like, well, you can't look at that. That's a different time. And then you say, okay, well, what about this person who committed this crime in the name of Christianity? Well, you can't look at that. That's one. Well, you can't look at that. Everybody is their own person. Okay, well, then what you're saying to me is Christianity is not a blanket answer for morality, but you still choose to use it to make yourself moral. And not in any capacity that you do good things, but by claiming it, even though you could argue all day against all of the people I could tell you who have committed crimes in the name of religion, that those are one-offs. It's just, it's not giving you anything unless you're backing it up with actions. And that has been lost in evangelical Christian America so hard. There are no actions to anything anymore. Nobody has to do anything good other than they think like picketing and going to these things and saying like gay people are bad. I'm going to hold up a sign outside of Pride and look, that makes me a good person. Okay, well, you're spending your money and your time trying to, I don't know, protest against these things when you could be spending your money and time trying to house the homeless and feed people who need it and help the elderly and do the things that your religion says that you should be doing.
It's also intriguing to me how this is kind of what I was veering off to earlier, and I got distracted by my own brain. How easy it is to basically preface something with, let's say, I'm not being judgy, but, and then spill out a judgy sentence.
Mm.
And to me, I'm like, I love how if you're like, oh, but I'm not judging. Oh, but I'm not being racist. Oh, but I'm not doing this. And I'm like,
you can't just say that you're not doing
it. I need
it
you to understand. Yeah, I need you to understand that does not create a resolution to the act you're committing. You are just gaslighting yourself into thinking that's what you're doing when, honestly, you're being extraordinarily judgmental. You're being extraordinarily racist. Own up to it.
Yeah. And like, so many people do that here because they think that that's the way. It's so distinctly Midwestern and Southern and Oklahoman and like Bible Belty to be like, I'm not doing this bad thing because this is a bad thing. We understand this. We know it's bad. But I'm not doing it. And then they do exactly that.
They do exactly that.
But because I said I'm not doing it, it means that I'm approaching this in a different capacity or whatever.
And it's so funny. I love listening to sirens every time we record.
I know, every time.
But I always love the thinking back to how I used to say that kind of stuff. I don't mean to be judgy on this. Like, this isn't me being judgy, but I'm just stating this. Nowadays, I will literally be like, I don't want to be judgmental, but I'm going to have a moment of judgment here.
I did that with Joe earlier today. I sent him a message that, like, preliminarily that was like, okay, just a heads up, shady Anthony moment of the week.
Yeah, like, for me, it's that self-awareness that I'm like, I know I'm not perfect. I don't
just need a
want
safe space to
be,
to express this thing that's in my head, right?
But
now.
But it's in my head, and I know that you're a person that I can tell this to,
right?
And I'm confident that you're going to agree with me. And it always happens. So like, oh my god, I know, and I'm like, I feel so bad that I'm being judgmental, but I'm not like trying to hurt them, and I just need to get it out of my brain.
I just need to get out of my brain, and that's okay. And I think sometimes people forget about that. Like, what is that saying? What other people think of me is none of my business. And that's really true of anybody. Like, I can have opinions about you, and they can be wrong opinions. They can be bad opinions. They could be opinions that are objectively not true if I knew you better. But that's my fucking opinion. And I'm not out here slandering you. I think that's where the buck sort of stops, is like,
yeah,
I'm not out here trying to like spread bad things about you. I just may have an opinion about you that is not true or real, but it's formed in my head for some reason. And it's going to be there. And it's not your problem. It's my thing.
It's kind of like, I'll just use like an outfit as an example. Like there's been times that I've just been like, I don't want to be judgy, but this outfit is not flattering on them. But then I'm always like, but you know what? That is just my opinion. And I am proud that they feel very confident in what they're wearing. Definitely if they're like bragging about it. And I was like, and if that's what makes them feel good, my opinion definitely doesn't matter. Right. So it's for me, while I'm not being perfect, which I never will be, no, I'm happy to know that I could acknowledge that my thoughts and opinions impact nobody else.
And as long as you're not trying to make that the case, if you're just, especially if you're just expressing it in like your own circle to in a safe space. And here's the thing, like my coworker and I talked about this at one point, because one of the people that we work with drives me insane, just absolutely drives me insane. And I will send him messages on Teams about this person and be like, I just need a place to send this because you understand it. You get it, and you understand why it drives me crazy. And one day that person was in his office, and he was afraid that like they had read the messages. And I was like, look, here's the thing. At the end of the day, if they did read the message and they got upset, it was none of their business. It was never any of their business. I didn't post this on Facebook. I didn't write a fucking article in the newspaper about it. I sent you a message privately about it wasn't for them. If they read your messages, they're in the wrong. It doesn't matter what I think about them. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It is just what I'm thinking, and I am not out here slandering you. It is just my own personal stupid opinion.
Yeah.
Which is extremely different from opening our conversation with, I am not about to slander you, and then slandering somebody in front of everybody.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, like, stand at the water cooler and be like, did you see blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And, like, talk to everyone about someone's out. No. No, 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 no.
No, that's a whole different thing. That is spreading rumors.
And I think everyone does it, just people don't want to admit that they do it.
I think that's kind of the place with people. And I've called people out on it whenever they've been in my office and they say things that are just not exactly true. Like,
yeah,
this same person is friends with the father of one of my friends outside of work.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize that when he started saying something negative about his friend's son. And I was like, actually, that's my friend. And other people's personal relationships with their fathers can be rocky. So if you don't think that he should be doing things a certain way, you also have to understand that you don't know what their relationship is.
Yeah.
Like, that's not for you to judge necessarily.
Yeah.
And I understood you were trying to express exactly what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But I was not the safe space for you that day.
Yeah.
Should have found somebody else.
That's it. For those situations, I'm like, you really have to like, you have to know that you have a bond with someone to be able to do that kind of stuff. But a lot of people think that because you're just going to sit and they talk at you, that you're the bond.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, I don't think that, well, obviously they weren't aware that I knew the son and they weren't aware that we were friends, but I did. And it was just like a blindside to them because they didn't know and they were expressing what they thought. And honestly, had they been talking about somebody I didn't know, I wouldn't have said anything because I wouldn't have known.
Well,
because that's all I have to go off of.
I do kind of love those moments, though, because I'll be like, okay, Judge Judy, what is going on that you feel like you need to tell me that?
Well, it was a moment where, because the person who does this is sort of like that. That's why it drives me crazy, because I just, it's almost like there's always a problem with something, and it's the problem that is more, it's more about having a problem than it is about solving a problem, if that makes sense. And that gets on my nerves a lot, because I don't need to solve every problem every time. But if it is always going to be problems and there's never anything positive to talk about, and that's the only thing we're ever going to do, I don't really want to have that interaction anymore.
No, and I don't thrive off other people's drama to a sense. I feel like a lot of people do that to make themselves feel better.
Yeah. It's sort of like a borderline personality deal.
Yeah. And I thrive on other people's drama just to be like, oh my gosh, where's this going to go?
I thrive off of it from a distance. I don't want to spread it, really. I just want to see it.
Yeah, I just want to listen and watch, and I just want to be like, ooh, what happens next? It's like watching a TV show. That's what I want. I'm not invested to this point that I have to give opinions. If they ever came to me and asked for an opinion, I'd be like, whoa, no.
I don't need to be part of the drama. In fact, I don't want to be part of the drama. I want to be on the sidelines. I want to see it. I want to watch it like it's a reality TV show.
I want my popcorn, my glass of wine, and I want to see what happens. Keep me updated.
Just let me know.
Just let me know. For example, today, got some drama at work that I heard about, and I was like, bitch.
Oh,
keep me updated. I want nothing to do with that, but tell me more.
And that's where I always I think I give people an out when it comes to that too, where I'm like, you don't have to tell me, and don't feel odd. Just tell me, because I don't want people to think that that's the case. Because if you're not comfortable with it, don't say it.
I think that's where my life changed a lot, was that I wasn't so invested that I had the FOMO that I had to be involved. Right. It was the fact that I realized that you're going to miss out on things, and that's just life. Just deal with it.
God.
That's a loud timer.
Jesus.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.